and this is The Science Show on RN. So tell me, how do termites build those great big skyscrapers they live in, carefully angled to the sun to manage temperature? Do they have an insect Frank Gehry? Do they have an arthropod mission control coordinating thousands of workers? Well, no. Another paper just published by AAAS in the journal Science reveals all. Justin Werfel is at Harvard.
So what we present in this paper is that we've created a system where you can ask a group of robots to build some particular structure you want and have them automatically go and build it for you. And they do that in a way that's more like the way that insects normally act than the way that robots normally act. The thing that inspired our approach was colonies of mound-building termites. So, of course, around here, when you hear termites, mostly you think of them destroying structures. But in other places, in Africa and in Australia, they're known for building. So they construct enormous mounds of soil to live under. The record was 42 feet high. And the mound is not just a pile of dirt. It's got all kinds of complicated internal architecture, networks of tunnels and so on. And these things are built by colonies of millions of individual insects. And all the termites are acting independently. Each termite decides for itself what to do. It's not like they're getting assigned instructions or tasks by the queen. And they each have a very limited and local view of what's going on. They don't know what the other termites are doing or what the current overall state of the mound looks like. So every termite is just going around by itself and deciding what to do in response to that. So to us, that was this fantastic proof of principle that large numbers of independent agents together can build complicated large-scale things. And we said, fantastic, that shows that it can be done. Now how would we do it? How would we build and program a swarm of robots so that together they build something that we want? So you can give the robots, in effect, a picture of what you want them to build. And it doesn't matter how many of them there are, or whether that number changes, or which robot actually does what and when. You have a guarantee that despite those kinds of variations, together they'll wind up building what you asked for. And that's what we present in this work. And we try to do this in ways that are like the ways termites do things. So every robot acts independently. It has its own brain. We try to keep them simple. Every robot has only three motors, which it uses to get around and build with. And it has very limited sensing. It can only tell what's going on right around itself and what it can see with its own sensors in its own body. The robots build things that can be much larger than themselves, and they climb over what they've already built in order to get to higher places. And they coordinate what they're doing using a tool that termites use. Rather than talk one to another one directly, they coordinate by changing their shared environment. So one puts some material down, another one comes along later and reacts to that material. It uses that to help it decide whether to put more material down. So this is a case of designing a complex system. Complex systems is the name for a very broad research area that looks at systems of many independent interacting components, where out of the low-level actions of these components, some interesting and surprising new collective behavior emerges at a higher level. Connecting the behavior at those low and high levels is the key challenge in complex systems research. And what we've done is to design a system like that. So it lets you start at the high level and ask for a particular thing you want built, and then low-level agents following low-level rules are guaranteed to produce the thing that you asked for. In the paper, we talk about making that work both in theory and in practice. And now to demonstrate it working in practice, let me introduce Kirsten Peterson, who's responsible for the hardware.
Hi, everyone. We were asked to bring the hardware along. We have three robots in the lab, and we just brought one along today to sort of show the concept. What's going to happen when I turn the robot on is it's going to try to complete the structure that we asked it to. In this case, that's a little four-block staircase, and as you might be able to tell, there's a block missing in the top. So it's going to try to pick up building material from the cache. That's a place where we manually reload building material at the moment. And it's going to walk along the structure until it finds something that needs doing, and it's going to try to do that.
So the robots are actually making little errors all the time. Like, so here it's trying to pick up the brick and failing. You know, later it may climb a step and slip. And rather than try to prevent those errors ever from happening, we've taken this approach of giving them enough feedback so that they can recognize those errors and correct them and try again until they get it right.
Some people ask us, how does the robot know when it's finished? They don't. The point is they keep patrolling the structure, fixing what needs fixing. If there's nothing that needs fixing, they'll just walk over it.
So the really long-term vision for this kind of thing is that one day systems like this could build for us in settings where we can't easily go and build. So, for instance, if you want to build underwater research stations, if you want to build a Mars base, those are cases where it's very expensive and dangerous to send people. But if you wanted a Mars base and you could send a team of robots on ahead first to build the habitat and then send the astronauts, you know, that's obviously going to help you. That's long-term vision. That's ages out, right? Something that we've been talking about that could be shorter term, still on the order of years, but more years than decades, is that these kinds of systems could be useful for building in disaster areas, again, where we don't want to send people. So, for instance, if you wanted to build levees out of sandbag to protect against flooding, obviously not these robots and not these exact algorithms, but you can imagine how hardware and approaches very much like this could be used to build things like dikes out of sandbags to keep people out of harm's way and having to do that. And that's actually something we've done a very little bit of preliminary work looking into. On the Self-Organizing Systems Research Group YouTube channel, there's a video of very early prototype showing what a robot building with sandbags might one day look like.
Would you describe your little robot for me?
Sure. Well, the robot is a tiny robot. You're Australian, so your metric scale. That's good. I'm from Denmark. It's 12 centimeters wide, about 20 centimeters long, and about 15 centimeters tall. Everyone describes it as cute, so I guess I'll put that out there. The reason it's cute is because the chassis is completely 3D printed, and so we haven't been limited to straight angles or no undercuts or things like that.
3D printing?
Yes.
I see. So they're all pretty well identical, and they're all pretending to be termites. No, sorry, they're pretending to be themselves. Is it true that you named them after Greek goddesses?
Yes, internally we are. It's wrong to name them, really, because they're all supposed to be identical. But obviously, when you spend as much time with the hardware as I have done, you know, you come to know them better and you get them names.
What was the first name you gave?
The very first name is a robot that is no longer in existence, Pandora, because I figured it kind of reminded me like Pandora's box, you know.
Yes, and they all do what's required of them immediately in front and around them. They don't worry about what's happening at a far distance. Is that right?
Yeah, it's really quite a beautiful system that Justin Rodica's dreamed up. It's this concept where, other than keeping track of where they are in the structure, they have no memory and they don't know what's going on around them. They really only know what's going on right underneath them and just directly in front of them, so they know not to fall off a cliff. But other than that, they're very localized.
And what's the biggest structure you've got them to build so far?
The very biggest structure we had one robot build was 18 times the volume of the robot, and that was completely autonomous, hands-off. And the biggest structure we've had three robots build is smaller, so that's 8 bricks, which is about twice the volume of all the robots together, maybe.
But theoretically, they could build a pyramid or something gigantic.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it all comes down to reliability, right? These are research robots, so making them good enough to run for that long a time is very hard. Even building a small structure like this is a long, long sequence of steps that has to be completed correctly, because otherwise you're going to block other robots.
When did you leave Denmark to go to Harvard?
I left 4 years ago, I guess. 4 and a half? Well, it's been a long time.
So you're obviously having fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really a great research lab.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Termites are the master builders of the insect world. Termite colonies have millions of independent insects, each acting independently with only local information, acting together to build really large-scale complicated structures. And we looked at that system and said, that's fantastic. That shows us it can be done. Now, how do we do it? How could we build and program a swarm of robots so that they would build for us things that we ask them for?
The termites don't have leadership. They don't have a plan. They just do their own bit. Is that right?
Correct. Termites move around in the mound and in the nest, as far as anyone knows, encounter whatever they encounter and take actions in response to that.
What sort of explanation do you have about how they coordinate to make this big edifice?
One of the major tools that they use is coordination through the environment. The word for that is stigmergy. One termite will put down some building material and another one will come along later and respond to that and use that to help it decide whether to put more material down or what else to do next.
They all know how to do their own bit. It's kind of wired in.
In a sense, the termites are more like the neurons in a brain. In a brain, the neurons are all acting independently and interacting with each other. And out of that comes this higher level intelligence and consciousness and these other near miraculous phenomena. And in a similar kind of way, the termites are the individual agents, you know, each moving around independently with no central coordination. And together, they produce these phenomena of collective intelligence.
And that's how your robots work?
Correct.
And what about the actions that you mentioned in the press conference about how these robots could be developed to have, oh, I don't know, planning developments, planning structures either on Mars or underwater, somewhere remote where people can't work?
Those are very long-term visions for where we think these kinds of systems may one day be useful.
Finally, the question I asked in the press conference about the way that flocks of birds and shoals of fish seem to coordinate in this way, and that there's a mathematical model about how this might operate, and you're suggesting that in some ways your robots are doing the same thing.
Correct. It's the same kind of principle of collective intelligence or swarm intelligence, where there is no leader. It's every agent acting on their own, following the same rules. And together, the whole group demonstrates this impressive collective intelligence.
How often does it go wrong?
It does go wrong. For instance, mound-building termites, sometimes the mound falls over.
Justin Werfel, still standing, and Kristen Peterson, both young researchers at Harvard, with a paper in the journal Science out this week.